shared with us in Acts, three different areas. Talks about the wind, talks about tongues of fire resting on each one. And then speaking in that foreign language or speaking in that tongue. Hallelujah. And you know what? That power is still today. We've got to stir it up sometimes, because it has a way of kind of sinking to the bottom like that of batter, and you're mixing up stuff, you know. I know, because I make pancakes. And I know mixing different things, that you got to keep it stirred up if you want it throughout the entire part of the batter. I don't want to get to the end of the batter and that's where it's all at. I don't want to get to the end of my life and that's where it's all at. It's, oh, gosh, where was all the good stuff, you know, in the middle of my life? Where was that good stuff at the beginning of my walk with you, Holy Spirit, God? And he would probably say, well, Tim, you didn't keep it stirred up. It all just went to the bottom. You got complacent. You got, it's an okay. Everything's fine. I'm looking more at the things going on in the world, and I feel I'm just a little bit better than what's going on in the world, so I feel pretty doggone satisfied. And he says, that's that complacency that you get into. God would say, I said, to be content where you're at. Don't become complacent to where you're at, and complacency will destroy you. Complacency will just eat you out to the point of there's nothing left. But if you're content to where I have you, you will be talking to me and seeking me every day and still be with me every day, because you're content in being in my presence. The Lord would say this, I believe. Amen? And our churches, and our church, myself, we are churches. I look out here, I see churches sitting in the seats. That's the church. We see ourselves in a point in time to where so much of the power of the church, so much of the power that Jesus was telling his disciples back in the Acts time and his ascension a week or so back of Ascension Thursday, when he says, I'm going now to send the power, amen, but don't go out and do anything in my name or for the kingdom until you receive power from on high. High, because if you do, you'll just probably be banging your head against the wall. And so the disciples were honoring of that, and they did listen, and they went back to that upper room, didn't they? And they waited. And they waited. And of course, as Jesus, faithful to his word, because God is faithful to his word spoken through Jesus, amen. God is faithful to his word, speaking through that of Jesus. God is faithful now, speaking through that of the Holy Ghost, the triune part of God, the Father, Son, and what? Holy Ghost. So now we hear right from God, amen. Are you excited that way of hearing right from God? That you can just go right to him. You don't need to go to a man, a mediator, or somebody in between to say, oh, tell me what he's saying. Tell me what I should do, Pastor. Tell me what the Lord is saying, Reverend. Tell me what I should be thinking, Father. You don't need us. When Jesus ascended onto high and sent the Holy Ghost, he sent it into all of us to be led by him, by the Father, individually, with power from up on high. Amen. To lead us, to guide us, to speak to us, to comfort us, to help us. A helper, he says, I will send to you. And I go, Jesus says, to the Father to sit at the right side. I'm going to be your advocate. I'm going to be your mediator. I'm going to speak before you. You know, pray these things in my name. Oh, Jesus, I pray this in the name of Jesus, my Lord. And thank you, Lord, for the power upon high. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. I liked how someone brought up, boy, that's a powerful thing in itself when you start thinking about one accord, isn't it? One accord, it says here, being unanimous, having mutual consent, being in agreement, having group, unity, having one mind and purpose, The disciples had an intellectual unanimity. They were united in intellectual of understandings of the things because Jesus had been pouring into him these things. Amen. An emotional rapport. A volitional agreement in the newly founded, and here it is, the power and the coming of the Holy Spirit was the birth of the church. Amen. Now we've got the church set in place. The power of the Holy Spirit comes. Now we go to the next direction or the next building block, I believe, that God has in store, right? From creation all the way through the Old Testament into the New Testament with Jesus and all the crucifixion and the resurrection and now the 40 days of him walking, ascended, 10 days till Pentecost. We have Pentecost. The power of the Holy Spirit descends. The church is born. We found also, I shared in Sunday school, that we find that once that is developed, we find that pretty soon the disciples turn from disciples to apostles. Now they're going out to share the good news, to build and to plant churches and to go forth. When another part of what I shared in there is that there's three areas as one study did on the power of the Holy Spirit. Or the Holy Spirit is that the people that as far as apostles would have evidence of seeing the actual things happening that Jesus spoke about. The second group would be those that, now all of a sudden I'm going kind of spaced out here. Come on, let's get it back together here. They saw the actions. The next ones were one of them was that they went out and they did miraculous things. Well, okay, the first one was they saw the actual signs and wonders of Jesus. The second one is they went out and they planted and grew churches. And the third was those that walked in signs and wonders of miraculously touching people and healing them, raising them from whatever it is because of the power that they had or the power that was within them. What was it? The power within them. That same power is in you today. Now, the thing is, you've got to believe that and understand that and grab hold of it. Amen. Amen. Your mind will say that's craziness because a lot of it you hear from is even from some powerful people out there in denominational roles and very intellectual of religious things that will tell you, the Holy Spirit and the falling of that was an Acts thing that happened in the book of Acts and now it's not happening for today. And that's a lie, a lie, a lie. And the sadness of it is many of us have bought that lie because we don't want to sound like we're or seem like we're crazy people. You know, we've shared in the past, talked to people about God. Oh, I believe in God. Well, now you better find out which God, right? They could be Buddha or something like that or Muhammad or whatever. That's their God. So we got to get the definitive of, is your God the God of creation? Oh, yeah. So now we got that. Okay, so now we're on one page. God, I'm with that person. I found a believer. Well, then you go, now what about Jesus, his son? And I believe you'll have some of those that believe in God fall off the bandwagon when you start talking about Jesus because they go, Jesus? I can't really go that way. How that all came about and what Jesus did. So I think there's like a litany of understanding of when we begin to talk to someone and they say, hey, I'm a Christian just like you. I'm a follower like you. I'm a disciple just like you. We better find out that they're just like me and I'm just like them. Because there's a lot of things that we might find out that, the road split. And when I'm talking about things of the power of God, they don't understand that. Because now, guess what? When we lost a part of the group that was with us from God, now I mention Jesus, another group, they slide off. I don't go that far. And then I get over here and I go, boy, not only God and Jesus, but what do you think about the Holy Ghost? Yeah. Boy, there's about two-thirds drop off there.
Yeah, you're definitely crazy.
Yeah, really? Are you really? You believe that stuff? Well, yeah, I thought we were Christians. I thought we were like one another. You said you were a follower. I was a follower. When did you stop following? They stopped following when man's thoughts tried to get into them, and it has gotten into them, where it's changed their whole understanding of the things of God. to where they're living in a thought process of I'm a Christian, but they're living a defeated life because they don't have the power. And so that's why there's a lot of uneasiness and a lot of craziness out in our churches, because our churches are living without the power of God in them. And it's because, number one, they kicked him out. And I think on the second side of that is God is kicking them out because of where they're at as a church in the kingdom of God, and what they're promoting and saying is okay to do. We're not out here to make friends in this world. Oh, yes, we are, kind of. We want to love them. But yet we can't become so friendly with them that we decide to follow their ways and say that is more important than what God's word says about anything in life of morality things. Because really where the change happens within us is when we start talking of the morality of what God's word says and the sanctity of life and what we think is this and what we think of that and what God says is sin and what's not. I had shared this past week with some pastors in an area that they were talking in regards to some things in their churches and all that, and how they were receiving some situations and all that. And I finally spoke up at the end when they asked me about some things. I pretty well keep quiet, and I just listen. I don't know if that's part of Proverbs, where it's best to think a man wise when he's not saying anything. When he opens his mouth, you find out he's not. I'd rather be quiet and let them think that I'm, man, this guy must be wise. Because all that time I'm going, okay, Lord, download, 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 download. What is it? What is it? What is it? How are we going to talk? How do you want to respond, Lord? How do you want to use me, Lord? You know? And I said, if we in our churches from the pulpit are not stepping on people's toes, then we're not doing them justice. And I said, if I am standing in that pulpit and I'm not stepping on my own toes, I'm not doing myself justice. God's word is love. God's word is compassion. And he loves us all. But we've got to make sure people understand where that love is at and how that love comes before us. And I've had times where people have done crazy things, and in this life, you know, the world has got a hold of them. And you talk to them about those things, and they go, but God knows my heart. Well, the scripture says that. That sounds good. Well, yeah, he does. God knows your heart. So I said, well, God, how do we respond to that? I sensed in my spirit, God said, ask them if they know my heart. Amen. I know their heart, but do they know my heart as God, the Creator, God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit? And that's where that road begins to part from followers to disciples to Christians to whatever. It's like, where are you at on that road? It's very evident in scriptures with Acts and Jesus telling them what they had to do and why, and that there's power coming upon you, that it wasn't just for that one time. That power is still being sent upon all of us, new believers. His power will come forth throughout the ages until he returns. Amen? God has not left us nor forsaken us. God has not left us as orphans out here. We don't have a heavenly father. Now, in our worldly ways, in our natural life, maybe we are orphans. Maybe you didn't have a mother and father. Maybe whatever happened in your earlier life, I don't know. But our heavenly Father, the Creator, the one that knew you before you were put in that mother's womb, he knows you. He knows you today. And so we have a heavenly Father that knows us. Hallelujah. I have a heavenly Father that I can talk to, and he loves me and I love him. And all I want to do is just serve him and please him and honor him. Amen. Do I do it 100% every day? No. But do I try? Yes. Do I have a desire? Yes. There's a difference. It's at least I'm trying. I've got a desire rather than just hang it up and say, there's no sense in trying it because I'll never attain it. I will never attain it under my own strength. I only attain it under the power of God in me, because greater is he in me than he that's in the world. And he that is in me is now through that of who? The Holy Spirit. Amen. That's why God's word says, I am greater in you than the world is. Because it's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's Pentecost. Because of Pentecost, I have got power in you, Tim. Amen. But you've got to tap into it, and you've got to keep it stirred up. Now you can't let it go to the bottom. Oh, man. Put the batter, put the milk, put the egg in. What happens? The egg stays on the top. You know? I shared that example one time, talking about, Lord, how are we in this world but not of the world? We're around all this stuff and all. And he says, you know, you're in it, but you're not of it. I go, really? You're in the world, but you're not of it. I don't partake in the things of this world. How about you? So I said, well, here's how I looked at that. I go back to my baking and a few things that I make. But anyway, it's like, well, yeah, I can understand that, Lord. Because see, here he goes, Lord, oh, the Lord is so good. And it's only because I got the Holy Spirit in me. It's not nothing Tim thinks of. Gosh. But it's God speaking into me by the Holy Spirit. Because I believe Acts. I believe the falling of the Holy Spirit into the disciples. I believe the Holy Spirit coming into me, and I received Him, and I began to walk with Him, and I began to speak in other tongues, and I just sense Him and have Him in me. How about you? But He says, it's like that egg and that batter. As long as that egg doesn't get stirred up into that batter, it's in the batter, but it is not of the batter. But He says, once the Christian gets into the world and they get stirred up into the world, pretty soon they lose that identity within that egg that sits on the top, and pretty soon they get mixed in with all the gunk. Amen. And you don't know where they're at. They're mixed into the world. So if nothing else, think of that today when you're out in the world. Just stay like an egg on the top. You're in it. You know, I'm on it, but I'm not going to be in it, and I'm not going to be consumed by it. The world has a way, the devil has a way to consume us into what he wants, because the God of this world is the God of this world. This world, earth, where we're at, all these things that are happening, he's the God of it. He's the God of confusion. He's the God of killing. He's the God of illness. He's the God of sickness. He's the God of thievery. He's the God of taking money and finances and relations. Who's all of that? The devil. Who wants to help you get out of all that? God. My Heavenly Father. Many people go through things and have happenings in their life here in this world, and it's understandable. They blame God. Why did God put this illness on me? Why am I getting sick? Why am I losing this? Why is this happening? Why did God? Why did God? Why did God? God is sitting up there shaking his head. It's not me. Where did you ever get the thought that I, a loving God, that sent Jesus Christ to die, because God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whomsoever should believe upon him will not perish, but have what? Everlasting, eternal life. I'm a God of love. Why did I get mixed into this? Because the enemy goes about doing a pretty good job getting people's minds confused to blame him and not blame that vile devil. You got to get mad at the devil. You don't take him to date. You don't take him out at night, and you don't have fun with him. But when he comes across your path, when he's messing with your marbles or something, you better tell him where to go. And you don't even have a conversation. You don't go and have a dialogue. I'm not going to debate you, devil. I'm just saying, get out of my life. Get out of the situation. I cast you out, I bind you, whatever. I bind on earth, we'll be bound in heaven, loose on earth, we'll be loose, whatever, loose in heaven, loose on earth. We get into all these things. And they're very powerful things to know. But you got to know the power that you're walking in, and it ain't my power. Ooh, the day of Pentecost came, and I've got the power. There appeared unto them divided tongues of fire, upon each one set upon their heads. It was like that of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole home where they were sitting. Evidence of these things happening back then. Boy, wouldn't it be great? Well, I don't want the roof to be blown off here. We had that happen some years back. But Lord, for a mighty rushing wind, just to come through and touch the hearts of people. Amen. Change the lives of people. We've got to be in the ministry of change. You know, we think we stop changing babies when they, you know, get potty trained. Well, you know, sometimes as adults, we need to be changed, you know. This life has an ugliness upon it. And we've got to be strong in these things to make it and to persevere and to get through it. But until you hook up to the power of God through that of Jesus Christ becoming your Lord and Savior and then being filled with and being full of the Holy Spirit, we are not going to be victorious. You believe in God and that's where you go, you're going to have a rough life because this life is rough. I get to God and I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Well, now things are a little bit better. I've got, I know where I'm going to spend eternity. But if I don't go further with that, I'm going to have a pretty miserable life. Even Jesus' word says you will still have trials and tribulations when you receive me. When I'm in your life, you're still going to have problems. You know, when he says, I must go for your benefit so that he, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, will come and fill you with all power and lead you into truth and speak the things of God to you and all these things. Then that's the next thing we've got to hold on to is that of the power of the Holy Spirit. The strength comes from. And I don't know if I have the answers, and I certainly don't have the answers for a lot of things in this life. How about you? I don't know how you respond to someone when they're laying and their prognosis of health is not good. And they're in a hospice situation. And family doesn't understand. It's kind of hard to kind of really get to understanding of where things are at in God with that, you know. Other than, I just pray, Lord, I don't know. This is going to be a rough situation, but I pray for the Holy Spirit to go with me. I pray for the Holy Spirit to be around me to fulfill that place, Lord. Sometimes I go and I just sit in these rooms and I look at the person, have some conversation a little bit, and there's people I don't even really know. And you just sit there. And all I'm thinking is I'm trying to think of the next thing to ask them to have some kind of conversation. You know, how do you go in and say, how's your day? What do you have planned for this weekend? And those conversations usually don't come about in people that are in hospice. So I'm picking my brain as to what do we talk about. So the Spirit gives me things to try to learn a little bit about them. What did you like doing? What hobby did you have? What kind of favorite food did you like to eat? All, you know, just little incidental things, but it's trying to build a relationship of some sort where you just have conversations. And then there's times when may they not respond, and I just have to sit there and just, okay, Lord, I'm believing the Spirit in this room and that your Spirit will touch them. It's not because I'm a super-duper spiritual, super-duper, you know, almighty God. But I know who's in me. And I know who I need. And I know who to call upon. And I know when to step back from myself and say, this has to be you, God. With anything that they ask, how I'm to respond, what should I say? But it's because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us that ability to take on the challenges of this life. The Holy Spirit will take you and help you work through whatever you're going through. How many here are going through something in your life today? Me. Guess who's going to help you get through that? The Holy Spirit. How many times are we going to do it ourselves? I'll just take care of it. I can do it, you know. Well, you'll learn early on in your Christian walk as those things happen. You try it, and then if it don't work the first time, I just give it up. Now I've learned not even to try it. I just say, okay, Lord, it's in your, the ball is in your court. You know, you got it. You tell me. And he will. He truly, he's faithful. He'll come and do it. Boy, I tell you what, he loves to come and help us. We find that after they were there, and it was like in the upper room, 120 came, and they were now touched with that of the Holy Spirit and the power of, and they all began to do, speaking in other languages. I find that interesting. Around a group of people and pastors, and we call it tongues, and tongues is an unknown language, and we think tongues is what? Baby talk. Goo goo ga 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 go 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 go. Maybe that's where it's at for in the beginning. I don't know. But we find out that in Acts, what it was, when they spoke in an unknown language, another tongue, we have to understand a tongue, when you speak of that, is like another language. What craziness. I'm starting to fade here. We might just go to that and just use that if that will work. How about if we... testing. And so when we begin to look at these things in the Acts, when a few years back, I just kept reading it and rereading it and then digging deeper, and I'm sure it's not really, you know, highly technical stuff. It's just, for Tim, I finally decided to go, hey, I need to find out about this. What's this really meaning? So all it was you got Galileans in this upper room of 120, and now they've been touched by that of the Holy Spirit, and they begin to speak in other languages. And the other languages were because it was attended by, you know, they were up in the room by themselves. Then all of a sudden there was a commotion, right? What does that say, a commotion? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there in the dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, this is Acts 2:6, and when this sound occurred, the multitude came together, and they were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And so all these people come from outlying areas, now we're in Jerusalem, of different languages, and they found these Galileans, and they're saying, let's see here. And when this occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them in their own languages. They were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, hey, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How can they speak from languages of Mesopotamia and Medes and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and, you know, all these places, Egypt, parts of Libya, Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. All these people are hearing this people that were just local people speaking in this unknown language to them. Now, have you ever spoken in an unknown language and you didn't know what you're saying? You know? When I'm in tongues, I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm thinking, I wonder what country this belongs in. You know, and I don't try to figure out what country to before I start speaking. It's just all of a sudden, it just, when you get to that level with the Holy Spirit in you, and you know not what to pray, but pray in the Holy Spirit, it'll come out in an unknown language. And so, I've heard stories way back where people had been on mission fields and a power of God fell upon them, and a missionary that was an American began to speak, and they used to have an interpreter, and all of a sudden they didn't need an interpreter. Somebody comes up after the meeting saying, how did you know to speak in fluent whatever? And they go, I didn't know I was speaking in that. I don't even know that language. The power of the Holy Spirit. The power touching each and every one at those special times. Cannot that same power touch our people in our churches in America today? It can, it should, and it will. Once we surrender ourselves to saying that power is still for today. And I'm going to walk in it, I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to receive it. And if people look at me kind of crazy, well, you know what? I'm sure they looked at Jesus as he was kind of crazy at some things. And they looked at some of the disciples. They were kind of crazy at those things. You know, as we look at this, now they receive the power, okay? The first miracle going out, they go out in chapter 3. Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, verse 3, he asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter says this. Peter fixes his eyes on him, and he says what? Look at us. And so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Peter says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of the Father, or in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received what? Strength. When you react and respond to the things of the power of God, you will receive strength. You will receive that miracle that you're looking for. Amen. Now, I go back to where I still don't understand all these things, to where I can go in and pray and ask for healing for a person, and yet they're not healed to the level of having life on this earth. And when that happens, does that cause my faith to waver? No. Because only God knows and understands these things. And anytime we've prayed, and I'm sure you're probably there too, when we pray for these things, it's like, Lord, this is what I believe. This is what I know you can do. Lord, I want your will to be accomplished in this situation. Whether it's healing for a life or healing for a job or, you know, whatever the case might be. You know, our sister here needs another mode of transportation. Her car is about ready to break in half. She needs a new chariot. And so we're going to pray for that. We're just going to ask the Lord to provide that. Let your will be done. And he's done many things in her life. So, you know, she's walking in faith already. I'm walking in faith and victory. Yes, I'm walking in faith and victory for the Lord. My God is with me. We're not alone. Even if you think you're alone in this life and you're sitting at home and it's dark and it's quiet and you're in a room, you're not really alone if you've got God. If you got Jesus, if you got the Holy Spirit, the three of them are all right there with us. And they will get us through those times. And those are hard times, and we got to have help. We all have to have help, amen? We need to have help from upon high, because that's the only help that's going to last. That's the only help that knows what we really truly need, amen? I think I know what I need, and I pray a lot of things that Tim needs and Tim wants. But I tell you what, I'm glad that he doesn't answer every dumb prayer that I prayed, because after the fact, and I think about it, or 6 months later, I look back and I'm thinking, wow, God, thank you for not answering that prayer. And he will not answer prayer all the time. And we've got to understand it's for our good. Because it's his will that's going to be accomplished in anything and everything upon this earth, amen? Even though we look around at all the things that are happening around this world and in our own American land, these things are happening. They're not surprising God. They're just all on track with what he's calling out to be, what it'll be in the days of the last days before Jesus returns. But I'm not going to ride and run and hide in a bunker somewhere and deny these things. I want to be out in front, if nothing else, proclaiming Jesus. You can have joy in the midst of confrontation. You can have strength in the middle of weakness. You can have an answer in the middle of doubt because of the Holy Spirit and God within us. Because of the day of Pentecost, the power of Pentecost. When that power came, things changed, amen? It's warm in here. We got to turn the air. Heat, Lord. Send the air now, Lord. Send the blower. Man, hallelujah. That just kind of goes to show you how mixed up the world is. I'm mixed up myself. There's one day I got the furnace on, the next day I got the air conditioner on. Now, tell me what's going on with that picture, you know? It's like, what in the world, Tim? The other day I came out here and I put a stake and I put a flag out there by the top. I drove in and it was like first few days of June. I don't know what day it was. I go, that's it. I'm planting a flag here and I'm calling winter over. And I turned the valves off to the propane tanks out there. I said, no more heat for the building. I don't care. You know, it's June. We should not have furnaces going. Amen. I might have to go pull my flag out. I don't know. Oh, Lord. But anyway, you know, it's just how we do these things. But, oh, Father. Do you have fun with God? Do you really have fun? Do you have Are you able to laugh at him and with him, and he laughs at you? I do, and I'm sure you do. Gosh, he's so loving. He cares so much about us. He has so many answers. He has all the answers to everything that I've asked. He's got the answers to things that I've not even asked yet. He's just waiting for me, maybe to get to that level of maturity in the Spirit, to where he can kind of share those things with me. But I know he's got it already. And I'm just going to be faithful. And I trust that we are all faithful. Now, as we kind of look at this, and we'll be wrapping up here, but as the disciples, now apostles, they've gotten their marching orders. Now that's this, you know, Pentecost. That's the birth of the church. Now we have apostles. Now they're proclaiming these things. They're planting churches. They're working in signs and wonders and things of miracles out before the people. In Acts chapter 6, we're going to look at Stephen, Philip, Barnabas, Paul, and Paul again. But just quickly kind of going through after the day of Pentecost, and now they're being sent out, amen? We got to go out, amen? We got to share this with people out there. There's people out there, they don't have a clue to this. And maybe some of the people that they don't have a clue about, it might be church people from other churches that you're friends with. You begin to say, hey, did you guys talk about Pentecost this Sunday? And they go, no, we talked about how we could do this or that. And it's like, what? You know? Well, you can do this or that if you got the power of God in you, amen. We got to get to the source, the power. My goodness, get to the power. But anyway, 6:8, we find where Stephen is moving now with this power. He's got this. In 6:8, Stephen is chosen to serve. And in 6:8, Stephen is accused of blasphemy. So in 6:8, Acts 6:8, and Stephen, full of what? Faith. And power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, and it goes into Alexandrians and all those from different places. What they're basically, there arose a dispute with Stephen. Now I'm going to tell you, when you start moving in the power of God and showing some of those things from up on high, and you go against religious order or people that don't believe the way you believe, chances are you're going to stir them up, and they're going to come at you. But he did wonders and signs among the people, and they rose, and there arose some, not all though, some will rise up, and let them rise up, and you'll deal with them or whatever the case might be, and God will take care of them. But it's for a purpose as you share these things. And there arose some from what is called the synagogue anyway, and they were disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. They were not able to resist. See, that's why I think, and sometimes I listen to people that, I would rather listen to somebody that's just fell off of a hay wagon somewhere talking about the things of God than some theologian that's come through high learning that has tried to break down the Greek and the Hebrew and this and that, and that's what this and that was this, and blah, 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 blah. And it's like my eyes go spinning, and I'm going, what? What? Just give me the life of somebody that's lived in the power of God. That's our testimony, right? I love listening to people when they've put things out before God and how God has answered them. And I go, wow, that's my God. That's the God I'm serving. That's the God that's inside me. Way to go, God. Hallelujah! Ooh, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. The Spirit of God in you will give you unfounded wisdom. Amen. He will give you that words to say that will people will look at you going, my gosh, what? Where did you come from? What college did you attend? Or where did you get that knowledge? And it's like, I was just sitting before the Holy Ghost and reading God's word, and this is what he sent to me. And how did you know to respond that way? I didn't tell you all about this situation. Well, you responded that way because you were led by what? The Holy Ghost in you. Because of working on that words of knowledge and things of that nature, that the gifts that he puts within us, the giftings of the Holy Spirit. The gifts and all are different of just receiving. We receive the Holy Spirit, and then he puts within us gifts and giftings that we work and operate out of. That is that part of the Holy Spirit as well working in our life. But look at that. The wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced him induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." Well, sounds like Stephen is counted up just like with Jesus. They said the same thing. Jesus is blaspheming God. They like to stir up people. The enemy of God, they love to just stir up people against God. We have that going on in our society today, where we got people of today. They're just wanting to stir up the things in the nation, in the areas of moralities and things that, you know, 50 years ago, 20 years ago, it was just pretty common sense. Like, you don't do that, and now it's like it's okay to do that. And for us, we're shaking our heads like, when did it become okay to just kill people outright? When is it okay just to do whatever you want to do, you know? And they came to him, they seized him, they brought him to the council, they also put up some false. And this is what the world will do too. See, the devil of this world is nothing but he's a father of what? And they set up false witnesses who said, "This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us. And all of us who sat in this council looking steadfastly at him saw his face as the face of an angel." And then he goes on and it talks about those things. But I'm just saying, when the power of God is put upon you and you go out to make a difference in this world, it could be in your family, it could be in strangers, it could be in the highways and the byways, there's probably going to be stirred up some opposition. There's going to be some stirred up things that you're going to have to work through and deal with, but really God's going to deal with them because you're walking in his influence. Amen. And then we go into 8:6. Philip in 8:6. Yeah, isn't it? Oh, Christ is preached in Samaria. I'm going to start in 4. "Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. And then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them." This is Acts 8:5. 8:6 now. "And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing" what? "The miracles in which he did." Signs and wonders. Times of those things happening in people's lives. That's part of that of an apostle, or part of that power is they're going to see signs and wonders. And I'm not saying that certainly not an apostle, but I'm going to believe that there's going to be times that there's going to be signs and wonders that I can lay hands on people and things will happen and things will change. Amen? "Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city." Wow. Oh, boy. When the Holy Ghost comes, things get shaken up. Things get shaken up in your life. Things get rearranged. Things get taken care of. And I tell you, the whole the ramifications of all that is, I like this part, is that joy. Joy. "And there was great joy in the city." Let the Holy Ghost work in your life, and you will have great joy in your life. Amen. You will walk in joy. "Merry heart doeth good like medicine." We hear people that are so frustrated and anger and full of anxiety and stressed and all this stuff. Every one of those things will tear down your body, destroy your body from within, and it'll make you crippled, it'll make you sore, it'll make you have pain, because there's studies in the natural showing what anxiety and stress does into your body. And the world loves to put stress and anxiety and all these things upon us. But you've got to walk in a higher power. You've got to walk in another kingdom of not of this world, for we are ambassadors of this world. I am just passing through this place. How about you? I don't want to, you go into a town and they don't receive you. What did Jesus say? Knock the dust off your feet and keep going. You know, this world is like that. Knock the dust of this world off and keep going. In Acts 15, we're just about there now. After that, we'll all go get some lemonade, okay? 15:12. This is Barnabas and Paul. Jerusalem Council, here they are. "Now the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter," and they're talking about some things. "Peter rose up, said to them, 'Men and brethren, you know,'" he's talking about what they did. But in 12, now I'm going to verse Acts 15:10. Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear? Verse 11, Acts 15:11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Then all the multitude kept silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many what? Miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. Wonders. Talks about in this, you know, talking about definitional things that they look at in the Hebrew and the Greek, and the Greek here. The science that deals with unexplainable phenomenon. Extraordinary occurrences, supernatural prodigies, omens, potents, unusual manifestations, miraculous incidents, protruding or protending the future rather than the past, and acts that are so unusual that they cause the observer to marvel at or, in awe. When you have miraculous things happen to somebody, you're in awe. You know, you're like, wow, they needed that. Hallelujah. But here again, Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them. After that, and after they had become silent, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name." And so here again, even though Jesus was gone and Jesus had ascended, the apostles and the disciples, now apostles, they're still going out and they're sharing this thing, and they're always wanting to remind these guys, this Jesus that you guys took and scourged and hung on a cross, the same man is now the man that we're still following, and he's the now the one that's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. He goes on and on. And one last place, Acts 19. Again, we're just kind of looking at how the followers began to go out, and we're to do that today. We need to continue to go out with that message, amen? Preaching the gospel, showing the things with signs and wonders. Believe that the power in you by laying on of hands of someone will make a difference in that person's life. Amen. Hallelujah. 19, verse 11. Acts 19:11. Paul. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Unusual. Oh my goodness. So that what? Even a handkerchief or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. There was so much anointing and power that was within these apostles or these disciples that even by taking, and we've heard of that in the past, and we've done things here way back, taking a prayer cloth and just praying over it and anointing it, and asking God, Lord, let this be a contact point of the anointing of you. And we've given it to people to take the loved ones that maybe couldn't come to a service. I remember many years back when my mom was going through health issues and cancers and whatnot, I took a prayer cloth one time, and we had prayer over it here at one of our services that we had had, and I took it to her. I explained it to her what it is. I went to that verse, and I told her, I said, Mom, this is like, just back in Acts, just like what Paul had done with his handkerchief. I said, this is not a miracle cloth type thing to where, you know, you put your faith in this cloth. I said, this is a contact point that I prayed over, that I asked the power of God to use to touch your body, to bring healing into your body. So I gave it to her. Never knew really what she did with it for some time, but she then began to tell me, or I found out as I was talking to her about it, because she had some good reports from doctors. And she said she had taken, bless her heart, she took that and put it into her pillow. And so all the times that she was laying in bed and her head on that pillow, she was laying on that anointed cloth that was basically just a contact point of saying healing upon this. And for a while there, she went to the doctor. She had spots on her lungs and all that they had found, and I think that was probably the time I really took that to her, and I told her, at the time when I was next to her bed, I said, Mom, I said, in the prayer that I had for you for your healing, I said, do not be surprised when you go to the doctor for that x-ray that spot on your lung, they will not find any spots on your lung. I don't say that to everybody when you pray for them, but there's a point in time when, because of the power of the Holy Spirit in you, and your point with God is, there's something within you, right? Have you ever got to that point where there's something in you to the point that you just know God just spoke to you? And I just spoke it with that authority. I said, they will not find anything, Mom, and don't be surprised. We came home. That next week she went. Later that week or whenever the next time I was in contact with her, I said, well, how did the test go? And she says, well, there's no spots on my lung. Well, I was praising God. Hallelujah. I don't know if she was into that, you know. I'm sure she was happy, you know. But I knew the source. I knew the power of prayer. I know the power of my God. I know the power of the Holy Spirit. I know. Now, I don't understand it. I don't know why some things happen and some things don't, and things happen and they should change, and I pray for a change, but it doesn't. I still will come back to you and say, I don't have all clarity and understanding of the things of God, but that I do know is I know that He's God, He loves me, He hears me when I pray, I believe in everything He has said in His Word, and I've asked Him to perform it through me to the best of my ability, and that I always want to bring Him honor and glory. Hallelujah. You know, it's like, we got a victory! Oh, no, we don't have a victory. It's just somewhere else in the body. And the enemy hears those things, and the doctors speak a lot of things to the enemy, and the enemy likes to speak through doctors, and there's some wonderful, blessed, godly men of doctors and all that, okay? But there's a lot out there, they're just doing what they can do best. Practice. Practicing medicine. But anyway, she never died of the cancer. It was some other things. But I had a victory, and she had a victory. And I remember those things and how we prayed to God. And I've had other prayers for people that, you know, and it doesn't always take effect like I wanted it to. But here again, early on, I began to learn in God's Word about what He says, not my will, but thy will be done. And when I began to focus my life on Jesus and what He did and how I wanted to replicate that in my life, that's kind of like a disciple or a follower, to replicate what He was doing. When I began to read these things that, oh, He had to be water baptized by dunking under, I said, I would never do that. I was baptized as a child with sprinkling. That was good enough for me. I'm on that step. That's foolish! Until the Holy Spirit in me, working through His Word, and my heart being tender, and I said, I want to follow and do what Your Word says, God. And I found myself being water baptized. So I said, never say never to God. I'll never do that, God. You know, I just can't really believe that I ever said that. I'd never be a pastor, though. I don't think I ever said that because it was never even on my radar. It's like I never had the opportunity to say I never would do that because I never even thought about it. He snuck it up on me. He said, gotcha. Woo, hallelujah. But that same power that works and had worked in Christ, that same power that is working and had worked in the disciples, is that same power that is now working in you if you receive Him and you move within Him and if you allow Him to have His way in you. And that requires us surrendering to Him. You've got to surrender to something, guys. You either surrender to God or you surrender to the devil. His Word says, choose this day who you will serve, either me or the devil. It's pretty straightforward. And so I trust as we sit here today that we're serving Him. And if we don't have that in our lives, it's just a matter of saying, I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved. And I believe, God, that You sent Jesus Christ to come and take my sins from me and cleanse me from my sins. And I confess Him now, Lord, as my Lord and Savior. May He come into my life and fill me with that of the Holy Spirit to guide me and to lead me. That's not hard to ask, is it? But that's how easy it is to come into that relationship with Him. And so many times people say those things by watching TV. Many times they say those things after they've heard it in a service and they're driving home. They go, well, you know, all He said was, admit I'm a sinner, believe that Jesus died for me, confess Him as my Lord and Savior, and receive Him. Yeah, I'm a new child of God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Also, just for prayer, for just to have the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's pretty dangerous. Pretty dangerous. Be careful what you're asking for. Amen? But to be filled, and we like to look at it as continually filled. And I don't know. It's too much to talk about today to kind of wrap this up now, but there's got to be a few more services, I think, in regards to the filling of and refilling of the Holy Spirit. Because I don't think we could just do one Sunday justice to the Holy Spirit. He's too big, amen. Too big! And he wants so much of a part of us. And so I want you to think about it this week. The Holy Spirit, where are you at with him? And where is he at with you? And let's find out next week what we can talk more about the Holy Spirit and asking more of him in our life. Amen? Amen. Amen.